For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Starts.
Oh, yeah. Well, that guy right there, he is a dirty, dirty liar. I am not Todd Starnes. I am Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd. And what do I tell you every time? Just think of me as Todd in a dress. Because I don't know about you, but that mental image just always makes me laugh. I love Todd. There's just so much going on. Seriously, there's so much going on. And I'm going to tell you before I go into anything, my allergies for the last 3 days have been killing me. Tuesday, they exploded. And now 2 days later, at least I'm not doing the show with tissue stuck up my nose. At least you can understand what I'm saying. I'm not that stuffed up. But my voice is like a little, you know, so I'm going to try not to clear my throat on the air. And I apologize if I do. I know nobody wants to hear that. I'm going to do my best to not have to do that on the air. So, but just be kind. I'm not doing it purposely, and I'm trying to be hyper aware that I am doing that and I shouldn't be. Okay, we have some great guests. Grace did a fantastic job. Coming up next hour, Liz Peek, one of my faves. Love Liz. Actually, three people who I really, really enjoy. Grace is so good. Liz Peek joins us. We're going to go talk about the presidential debate. All right. And then we're going to talk, you and I, we're going to talk about the presidential debate. In the following hour, Henry Rogers from the Daily Caller will be joining us. And he did a piece on how the DNC sent millions of dollars to law firms that were behind that lawfare targeting Donald Trump. Huh. And we're going to round it out with Congresswoman Kat Comick, who will be joining us to also talk about the debate and what's happening on the border. All really big topics. But there are other things happening, just so you know. There are other things happening in the world. And I wanted to get into some of those. We can discuss them. We'll talk about them. And then we'll get into the debate with Liz Peek, and then you and I will talk about it then, okay? So I just want, there are other things happening, as I said, and I think it's important to not just focus on the debate for 3 hours or the border for 3 hours. Axios put out this piece, I'm sure you heard about it. They put the piece out about this letter signed by 16 top economists, Nobel Prize winning economists, who warned about the economic dangers of electing Donald Trump. Well, doing a dive into them, and I'm so glad this was done. I think people learned from the letter signed by the 51 intelligence officials about the Hunter Biden laptop. Now, riddle me this. Do you think that it's a coincidence that this comes out just before the debate? And when did the Hunter Biden laptop letter from the CIA officials come out, the intelligence officials come out? Huh. Oh, wait, that was just before a debate between Trump and Biden. And Biden used it then to shoot down Trump. Yeah, well, the 51 intelligence officials, and Biden had that all ready to go. So weird how that happened, and so weird how they're going back to the same playbook this time around. But this time around, at least the media, the right-wing media, the more, and those, I truly believe there are some media outlets out there that do walk that line and just do news. They don't do opinion. They do news. Or they mark, you know, opinion pieces. They say opinion or commentary. So they got onto this time around. And they found a little digging. And something that Axios did not report is that the Nobel Prize winning signatories have donated to President Biden's 2020 and 2024 campaigns. They also donated tens of thousands of dollars to Democrat candidates. They also signed previous letters supporting Biden's agenda, and they attacked, one of those letters attacked selfish and reckless Trump. Oh, so in other words, they're political hacks. So the best part about this is if Joe Biden remembers to bring this up tonight in the debate, Donald Trump can shoot him down and go, hey, dude, we did this before with the Hunter Biden laptop. Remember? Remember that whole thing? Only this time you don't have X censoring anything you want censored. So the news got out there and you had outlets like Fox News Digital, like the Daily Caller and others who looked into this and to see who are these signatories. Wait, this is weird. This is so familiar. People actually remembered what happened before the 2020 debates when the letter came out about Hunter Biden and that laptop. That's fake. Mm-hmm. So shall we go into them? Oh, by the way, the number, I forgot to give it to you, 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM. You can also reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. There's no S in there. There's only one of me. So Mary Walter Radio, and I'll try to multitask and get to your comments on X and also get to your calls. So, okay, who are they? Joseph Stiglitz is from a Columbia University professor, so no shock that he's a Libby. He previously signed a letter supporting Biden's Build Back Better agenda, and he donated $1,250 to the Biden Victory Fund in 2020. Between 2004 and 2020, he donated over $90,000 to Democrat candidates. That gig as a prof at Columbia clearly pays well. Georgetown University professor, Georgetown, sorry, I went to Villanova, Georgetown. George Akerlof is married to Biden's Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. Oh, so of course he's going to say that Biden's economic agenda is brilliant because he's married to Janet Yellen. He donated $25,000 to the Biden Victory Fund. He maxed out as a donor in 2020 and he gave the campaign $5,600. He donated nearly $90,000 to Democrats between the 1990s and 22. He also signed the letter supporting Build Back Better, and he signed the letter in 2020 calling Trump's reelection selfish and reckless. Let's go to Harvard University, another well-paying gig. Economist and historian Gloria Golden donated $500 to the Biden campaign in 2020 and 24 and has donated over $8,000 to Democrats in recent years, and she signed that 2020 letter endorsing the Biden campaign. Eric Maskin signed that 2020 letter expressing support for Biden's campaign. He donated $3,000 to Democrats in recent years, and on and on and on it goes. Daniel McFadden, Roger Meyerson, Edmund Phelps, Paul Romer, Stanford University economist Alvin Roth, William Sharp, Nobel Prize winning economist. It goes on and on. And what's interesting is Tim Murdaugh, who served as Trump's 2020 campaign spokesman, said, "How amazing this happens just in time for Biden to reference it in the upcoming debate. It's almost as much of a stroke of luck as the letter from 51 intelligence officers claiming that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation." It's amazing. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So there's that. Now, here's another thing going on. Anna Paulina Luna has done something, and it's really flown under the radar. It hasn't gotten a lot of traction at all, but it's super important. I want the Republicans to fight, right? I want them to get in there and do something. What do we say all the time? That's really great. You've written another sternly worded memo. But when people aren't, when like Christopher Wray and company just say, yeah, we're not giving you that. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. Republicans just sit there. Democrats, I swear, are so, Nancy Pelosi, I don't like her policies. I don't like what she stands for, but I think she's a hell of a leader. She knows how to work the system, and she knows how to get, and she knows how to skirt just within the lines of legal. She knows how to walk that gray line between legal and illegal. She's brilliant. So Anna Paulina Luna was joined by 9 other House Republicans, including Freedom Caucus members and some more moderate members. And she held a press conference yesterday. And in this press conference, she warned that U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland still has time to comply with a congressional subpoena for the Hur tapes. Now, Robert Hur did the investigation into the classified documents, and he said that, you know, Biden was well-meaning, but, you know, he didn't think he could, you know, stand up and be investigated and stand trial. You know, he's well-meaning, but he has memory lapses, etc. Now, is that an out? We don't know. They released the transcript of his interview with Joe Biden. Joe Biden, we know, shared the classified documents with his ghostwriter, and we know the ghostwriter destroyed the evidence. Why is the ghostwriter not being brought up on charges? I don't understand that at all. Is he also too elderly, well-meaning, nice guy, but has poor memory? Is he fall into the same bucket, but somehow he escapes any prosecution? Anybody who shook hands with Donald Trump is being prosecuted at this point in the game. But the ghostwriter walks away. Weird, right? So here's what they're going to do. So they're moving forward with this call for Garland to be held in inherent contempt because they voted him in contempt. All right. But nothing's going to happen to him. They're not going to prosecute him. DOJ is like, yeah, we're not going to prosecute him because he's their guy. So she said, if he does not hand over the tapes of the interview with Robert Hur and Joe Biden, and why won't they hand out over the tapes? If they put out the transcript, why won't they put out the tapes? That doesn't make any sense. So they're hiding something. She said, if he does not, quote, we will press forward with calling the privilege motion on inherent contempt to the floor Friday morning. That's tomorrow morning. If the motion is successful, fellow House Republicans will direct House Speaker Mike Johnson to call up the sergeant at arms. And the sergeant at arms has the authority under this inherent contempt motion to bring Merrick Garland into custody. Now, Merrick Garland's protected by Secret Service. Ho-ho, what a conundrum. This is going to be great. She said, I also want to make it clear, though, that this is of Garland's choosing. No one is above the law. And if he chooses to go down this path, then we will, too. It is also important to note that if we as a Congress do not have the ability to enforce our investigative ability, that we are essentially going to be ignored and undercut and essentially handicapped by all the other branches, which will make us not a co-equal branch of government. And I got news for you. The FBI, the DOJ, the CIA, etc., they're not a branch of government. If you remember your Schoolhouse Rock from back when you were a kid, you know that our government is a three-ring circus, three equal rings. You know that. Presidency, judiciary, and legislative. The inherent contempt power. Now, this differs from criminal contempt. That resolution was passed on June 12th. That referred Garland to his own department for criminal charges, and shockingly, they chose not to charge him. I'm shocked. The inherent contempt power is a constitutionally based authority given to each house to unilaterally arrest and detain an individual found to be, quote, obstructing the performance of the duties of the legislature. The power is broader in scope than the criminal contempt statute in that it may be used not only to combat subpoena noncompliance, but also in response to other actions that could be viewed as obstructing or threatening either house's exercise of its legislative powers. Because I was like, why do you have a sergeant at arms anyway? Right? Like, why do you have that? If the sergeant at arms doesn't do anything, he was like, you know, Randy from, what was it, Rusty the bailiff from People's Court, like if that's what he does, or Officer Byrd from Judge Judy, that's all they do is stand there and hand papers back and forth. First of all, I want that gig. Where do I get it? And I want the congressional one because that comes with a sweet pension. Dan Crenshaw said, I understand this sounds extreme. It sounds extreme to put the AG in handcuffs and drag him in here. I'll tell you why I'm here. What motivates me, because what the DOJ is doing in my hometown in Houston, they're willing to arrest a regular citizen, put them in handcuffs, charge them with ridiculous crimes. And for what? Because that particular citizen, a man named Dr. Haim, decided to expose a crime in Texas. That crime was performing harmful gender transition practices on minors. He was indicted for alleged HIPAA violations, and this demonstrates that Merrick Garland and this DOJ determination to target whistleblowers who oppose their ideology. They want to protect themselves. Inherent contempt has been used by the House of Representatives more than 100 times since 1795 and has been upheld by the Supreme Court. Question is, will they have the guts to actually do it? My hunch is no. But you never know. It could happen. 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM is my number. You can hit me up on X at Mary Walter Radio. So much this first hour I want to get in here before we delve into the debates next hour. And we'll also do the debates again in the last hour of the show with Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Coming up, Michelle Obama making some news. Apparently, there's somebody she didn't like too much, and you might be surprised. That is coming up. Americans owe our freedom to the sacrifice and courage of our heroes in uniform. Did you know that you can support our military, veterans, and first responders just by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They are an example of putting the cause ahead of profits. And that's why Todd's so proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to, but you give back to our heroes. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support Folds of Honor, Tunnel to Towers, Boots for Warriors, Helping a Hero, Warrior Rising, and so many more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching super easy. You keep your number, you keep your phone, or you can upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. You get free activation when you use the offer code of Todd, T-O-D-D. So join Todd and make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. I'm Mary Walter. More coming up on the Todd Starnes Show.
Thanks to the good people at American Hartford Gold, I'm able to bring you this urgent message. Inflation is on the rise again. The dollar is in danger of collapse, and an overheated stock market could crash at any time. The upcoming election is only adding to the chaos. That's why you should contact the good folks at American Hartford Gold to help you safeguard your financial future with physical gold and silver. You can diversify your savings with precious metals delivered right to your door or in a tax-advantaged gold IRA. Protect your retirement from a collapsing dollar and crashing stock prices. Call 855-913-1133 or text Todd to 65532 today for a free gold and silver informational kit. And if you call now, they'll send you up to $15,000 of free silver on qualifying purchases. Gold has hit record highs and keeps climbing. So call 855-913-1133 or text Todd now to 65532 for your free informational kit today.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. How you doing? I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd Starnes. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-KWAM, or you can reach out to me on Mary Walter Radio. I want to play some cuts for you here. What is this? Can Biden be charged as an accomplice for the wide open border? We're going to talk about the border later, but sure. Anna in Gainesville, Georgia, listening on WDUN. Anna, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Mary. I was wondering perhaps if you might know if the president be charged as an accessory to several murders because of his inability to focus on that.
On the border?
Border, yeah.
Yeah, well, as a sitting president, he cannot. But depending on how the Supreme Court rules, if the Supreme Court rules that Donald Trump doesn't have immunity, right? If sitting president, if a president doesn't have immunity for actions taken while in the Oval Office, obviously, you know, if he's accused of committing murder, then, you know, you can get him afterwards. What this would do is if they say that he has no immunity while in his official capacity, okay? So if Donald Trump ordered a hit on somebody as, Donald Trump not acting as president, then he could be and should be held liable for that, right? But if, for instance, in Abbey Gate, when those 13 Marines were killed, could Joe Biden be held liable for that after he leaves office? If it's ruled that the president doesn't have immunity, then yes, he could. He could also then be charged as an accomplice in the murders committed by illegal immigrants. So this is why I think it's taking the Supreme Court so long to walk this line. Because it's very iffy, right? What Joe Biden did, a lot of us want him to be held accountable. Barack Obama killed, weren't there a bunch of civilians who were killed by drones under Barack Obama? American citizens. So it's a very slippery slope, but this will depend on how the Supreme Court rules on the immunity topic. To answer your question, that's where this goes.
So, okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Coming up, We're going to talk about the Democrats and what their problem is, according to James Carville and Van Jones. They think they know. I'll share it with you. And I'll get your opinion. That's coming up next on the Todd Starn Show.
You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. How you doing? I was just having a conversation with Ben, who is still here. I don't know why, and apparently they're freezing. apparently Todd keeps studio really, really cold. But Todd is not there today. Where is Todd? Hold on. I've got to find out where Todd is. I'll tell you where Todd is in just a second. Hold on. Grace sent it to me in an email. Okay. Nope, that's not it. Here's where Todd is. So, and you guys, since Todd's not there, you know you can turn the heat up. I'm just saying that, you know. Todd is doing his Newsmax show today live from Iowa. I wonder if Chuck Grassley, because he's going to be hanging in Iowa. He's going to be doing his radio show live from KXEL in Iowa. Then he's going to hit Iowa Fest Saturday from noon to 3. I'm going to bet Chuck Grassley is there. Chuck Grassley is such a nice man. Oh, love Chuck. You can get your free ticket, too, at KXEL.com/IowaFest. They're going to have books and food and fellowship. It's at the National Cattle Congress Pavilion in Waterloo, Iowa. And then Saturday, he's going to be speaking at the Benton County Republicans fundraising event. So you can go meet Todd, hear a great speech, and there's going to be some Q&A and good dinner and fellowship at 7 p.m. You get your ticket at the door, Tilford Elementary School in Vinton, Iowa, 7 p.m. at 308 East 13th Street in Vinton, Iowa. But I guess my hunch is if you live in Vinton, Iowa, you probably know where the Tilford Elementary School is. I'm just going to go with that. I'm just going to guess that you probably know where it is. All right. Let's get back to this, shall we? I'm going to play some audio for you. And I'm going to start with cut four here. This is Van Jones. And he was talking about the Democrat Party. And I have been saying this for a really long time. I have said for a long time, between this cut, Van Jones cut, and James Carville, that the problem with America at this point in the game right now is liberal women. I'm sorry, but liberal women are the problem. And most of them, and mostly, it's mostly single liberal women. They hate men. They've been divorced or they never got married. I don't know what the problem is, but they're the screechy, preachy ones, right? So here's Van Jones talking about problems that the Democrat Party has with men.
The Obama-Biden coalition is in trouble. It's in trouble. And I get beat up every time I say it, but, you know, mm-hmm. It's obvious that it's in trouble. And it has to do with a number of things. Number one, the white working class guys left for your campaign in 2016, the Democratic Party. And now black and Latin working class guys are following along. And they don't have to follow in massive numbers. Again, this is razor edge stuff. So, I mean, listen, the vast majority of black people are going to vote for President Biden. The vast majority of black women are going to vote for President Biden. The vast majority of black men are going to vote for President Biden. But that's not the point. The point is you have a margin that is hurting and uncertain among black and Latin men as to whether we have a place in this party. It's it's not easy to talk about, but there is a sense among a lot of guys that you talk to that they're just tired of being lectured, tired of being wrong, tired of being criticized, tired of being called toxic, tired of, frankly, a lot of other groups getting more out of the Biden administration than black folks got.
Yeah. It's men who are leaving and going to Donald Trump because they want to have a job. They don't want to see, and especially lower income men, they're watching their jobs go to people who came into the country illegally. And they're tired of that. They want to have dignity. They want to be able to feed their families. They don't want to be reliant on the system. They have pride, you know, and it's great. You know, American pride, wouldn't that be great if that made a comeback? So Van Jones, I think, speaks the truth, and I want to know what you think. 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM, or reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio, and I'll do my best to multitask and get to your comments on X as well. I want to move on to James Carville here. James Carville has been just screaming, and I'm hoping, Dylan, that you bleep this, right? You did, right? Oh, you did. Okay, good. Because James Carville swears a lot when he's angry, and he's on our tear, which has been a lot lately. So here's James Carville also talking about the problems that the Democrat Party has. I think he nails it.
I think Democratic culture has too many preachy females. It's too much. Don't eat hamburgers. Don't watch football. All right. Wear condom. Like, man, leave me alone. You okay? I got a life to lead. You know, guy works at a tire repair shop in suburban Atlanta. You know, working 50 hours a week, you know, making $16.50 an hour, and he wants to watch the football game. And he wants to smoke dope and drink beer. And then everybody's telling him he's slothful, and they reject that. And, you know, I just think some of it is just cosmopolitan condensation, if you will. Like, you need to lead the kind of life we lead, not the kind of life you lead. And it pisses people off.
Well, that's across the board. That's black, white. That's a big part of Trump. That's a big part of Trump.
It's Hispanic. We're going to lose Hispanic males.
I think he meant condescension, not condensation. But he was on a roll. He was on a tear. Good job, Kyle. But he's right. You know, Hispanic men come from a very macho culture, right? They always talk about macho culture. And if you ever watch 90 Day Fiancé, you know what I'm talking about. Which, by the way, if you ever want to watch a show that you can just relax and not have to really put a lot of thought into it, just to unwind, and it makes you feel good. It makes you feel good about your choices in life. Watch that show. You're going to feel really good about your choices in life. But if you know, there's a lot of cultures in which men run the show. That's just the way it is. I love American women who marry these guys who come from Muslim countries, and then they're surprised that they're surprised when he tells her how to dress and how to act and what she can and can't do, etc. And I'm just like, you know, would have helped if you picked up a book. I'm just saying, you know, get online, do a little quick search about what culture is like in the country in which you're in love and you're going there to marry the love of my life. But Hispanic males do come from a very macho society. And so having these preachy white women, and that's exactly what this is, with their blue hair and this and that, and you can always see them coming because they've got the weird hair and they look like, I don't understand the desire to look like you just escaped some kind of circus out of a Stephen King novel. I don't understand it, but they do. For whatever reason, they let themselves, I want to say they let themselves go, and maybe that's judgy, but I believe in trying to keep up appearances. Listen, can you stop aging? No, you can't. But can you age gracefully? Yes, you can. Yeah, you're going to get lines. Your hair is going to get gray, and that's fine. And if you want to leave your hair gray, God bless you. More power to you. But for the love of God, don't comb it with a balloon. They look like female versions of Bernie Sanders with the hair out all over the place. You know what I'm talking about. And the socks and the sandals, the whole bit. They look like they could have been a hippie back in 1964. And they're, you know, never gave up the look. So are they on to something here? The Democrats have a problem with men, especially working class men, who they've always been the party of the working class, right? Well, now suddenly they're not the party of the working class. And it is due in large part to preachy women who won't shut up, who won't leave them alone, who want to tell them everything they can do with their life. Listen, in this country, we do, women, American women are seen in other countries as being very bossy. But, and I think a lot of American women can be very bossy. And, but that's on a, you know, an individual basis. I know some conservative women who are kind of bossy. But in a marriage, you know what I mean? I don't know. In a marriage, you do you. You work with, you know, my husband and I handle certain stuff, but here he handles certain stuff because we work crazy, insane hours. And we got a lot going on. Just a lot going on. And I just texted my husband this morning. I'm like, so how do you think I feel about going to Montana this weekend? We had something to do and we didn't think it was going to happen. And now all of a sudden I'm like, so you want to go? We'd have to hop on a plane Saturday morning and then be back on a plane early, super early Saturday morning, back on a plane super early Sunday. And we're probably going to get stuck in the afternoon with the thunderstorms and the whole bit. But anyway, that's our life. So I handle certain things, he handles others. And, you know, I tell him, you need to do this, you need to do that. I don't think that's bossy. I think that's just how we handle it. So you can look at it. But I think overall, on the liberal side of things, on the Democrat side of the aisle, they have a lot of women who emasculate men. And that's a fine line you walk. There's nothing, I don't think there's anything wrong with a man opening a door for me. But it's so funny because among Gen Z, you got the Gen Z, and there is a piece out that Gen Z, 1997 to 2012, so many of the young women are identifying as liberal, and more and more of them, and very far left, but only 25% of their young male peers. 29% of young men identify as conservative, with only 21% of their female peers. And I go back to the riots, the anti-Semitic riots on the college campuses. What did we see? We saw a group of young college frat boys protecting the American flag. And who were they protecting it from? Young women, their cohorts, screaming and yelling like crazy people and throwing stuff at them and everything else because they're so up in their emotions. Sorry, ladies, but you are. They're so caught up in their emotions that they are totally unhinged. They're like toddlers having a temper tantrum because you won't let them have dessert for dinner. What do you mean I can't have ice cream for dinner? Or you won't let them wear, you know, a tutu to school today. Polling suggests that more than 70% of college Democrats wouldn't go on a date with a Republican. Whereas the opposite is true. The opposite is only 31% of Republicans who wouldn't go on a date with a Democrat. 37% of young Democrats wouldn't even be friends with a Republican. 59% of women from both parties saying they would not go on a date with someone who voted opposite them. And then you see these young women making these videos on TikTok and Instagram and everything else. And they're sitting in the front of their car, as always, with their manicured nails and the whole bit, crying that they can't find a man who's going to take care of them, that they need someone to take care of them. These liberal young women are the ones who don't need a man. They're the ones who are constantly telling men what to do. They're the ones who tell men that, you know, they have toxic masculinity and they're benefiting from their privilege and everything else, putting them down, as do the schools put these guys down. So it's no surprise that when they get older, they don't want to deal with these women. They don't want to date them. So the only guys that these liberal women, Gen Z women, can get are soy boys in their tight jeans and their man buns, and who are taking women's studies with them in college, who are their allies. But they're not masculine men. And that's what these women want. They want masculine men, but they've spent their lives destroying and tearing down masculine men. So I think that we're going to find in this election that the Democrats have a big male problem, a big problem with young men, especially young men. And older men who have voted Democrat their entire lives and are saying, wait a minute, my job, they're on the job site and they see more and more guys coming on the job site who can't speak English. They have to learn Spanish in order to talk to them. Why is that happening? Why don't they learn English? Why do I have to learn Spanish? And they're seeing jobs taken away, maybe lower paying jobs, but good jobs. Listen to me, any job that pays you is a good job. You may not like what you're doing, but you have your dignity and you are providing for yourself or your family by working. Those jobs are being taken away by people in the country illegally, and the numbers prove it. So those guys are losing because the Democrats are favoring the quote-unquote newcomers over American citizens. And here comes Donald Trump, who says, hey, I don't think that should happen to you. I think you should be allowed to keep your job. I think you should be allowed to get a better job. But if you don't have any job, you can't get a better job. So, of course, who are they going to gravitate to? Donald Trump. It makes sense. And the fact that the Democrats haven't figured this out yet is stunning to me. Absolutely stunning. If you want to discuss it, I'd love to get your take on this. I'll take with the Gen Z, the whole bit with the widening gender divide. It's political. It's ruining their relationships. It's a very tough generation, I think, to be in at this point in the game. But, you know, you have other Gen Z influencers who are turning against Joe Biden. They're going against him. So coming up, we're going to dig into this a little bit more. And Michelle Obama in the news, which she hasn't been in the news a lot lately. You know, she's been really quiet. I can probably tell you why. That's coming up on the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes in the Liberty University studios here, 901-260-5926-901-KWAM is my number. So I was just talking to the boys here, the young men here, about what we were just talking about with Gen Z, and Ben jumped in and said, you are right. So Ben, you're Gen Z, and do you agree with what everybody's saying about Gen Z, that the guys are punching out and they're becoming more conservative?
They have to, because you nailed it. They've been told, Mary, I mean, growing up, that they are the cause of every issue in our society. Like, we have this patriarchy, this is misogyny, and we can fight the patriarchy and become a matriarchy. And so I think these guys are just fighting up, and that's why you're starting to see a lot of them turn out to be conservatives, yeah. Which is a good thing.
Which I would think would give you also in the dating pool an edge among your cohorts, because even the liberal women want a guy who's like a man's man, they want more of an alpha male. They don't like to say alpha male in these videos, and I'm sure you've seen them, but they complain about, oh, none of these guys have a job. They live at home with their parents and I have my own place. I'm like, yeah. There you go, and you did it to them.
Yeah. I mean, was that, like, has that changed generationally? I think so. Like,
yes.
You dated around, you got married, not a soy boy, I'm assuming, you know?
No.
But there's, you know, this growing change. Like, these guys are finally starting to say, you know what, we thought it was cool to be a Democrat, but now, because Joe Biden declared basically every other month to be in the LGBTQ calendar...
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous.
That they're not on board with that, especially no. Black men as well. Like, I think that's why yes. A lot of young Black men are, like, completely done with this party.
Yeah. One of the other things, quickly, in the minute and a half, I hope you're watching the clock that we have left. Gen Z are twice as stressed out as millennials were at their age. A third of the 18 to 24-year-olds are suffering from a common mental disorder like stress, anxiety, or depression. Gen Z who are working are taking significantly more sick leave than Gen Xers, who are 20 years their senior. They're just generation anxiety. That's just part of life. Like, we just called it part of life. Yes, I realize you're nervous. We never said anxiety. I said nervous about this. But put on your big boy pants and off you go. What's happening?
So everybody is taking what is called a selective serotonin these SSRIs. Like, everybody's on them. And it's because they have anxiety, and instead of working through your circumstances, you're not depressed, you're just going through your 20s. I'm reading a book right now. It's called The 20-Something Solution. And what they say is, instead of just taking pills, this is an opportunity to build skills. These kids are just taking pills, though, not working through the skills.
Right. Well, because they've been taking pills. Young boys have been taking pills since they were in grade school because they were diagnosed as ADD or ADHD, which is just what little boys are. Little boys can't sit still. So they're just little boys.
So they're super hyper in elementary school, and then they hit college, and naturally, Mary, they're going to be anxious. So they get prescribed another dose.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Well, Ben, thank you so much. I appreciate you being the spokesperson for Gen Z, and they're not all bad. As far as that Michelle Obama story, you're just going to have to wait. Coming up, Liz Peek will be joining us to preview the presidential debate tonight. We'll talk about some other news with her. Maybe we'll talk about Michelle Obama. That's coming up next on the Todd Stern Show.
Did you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Mary Walter, in for Todd Starnes. It's so great to be with you. You can follow me on X at Mary Walter Radio. There's no S in there, Mary Walter Radio. I'll try to get your comments there. I want to talk about the debates and some other news with someone who knows everything about the news. One of my faves, Liz Peek. She's with Fox News. She's a columnist there and also at The Hill. You can find her on X at Liz Peek, P-E-E-K. Hey, Liz. So glad I could have you on the show today. Thank you for making it.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Mary. Always a treat.
So, a couple things before we get into the debates I wanted to talk to you about. One of them is Eric Adams. This story, I think, has flown under the radar because there's so much going on a national level. A lot of these smaller stories are kind of not really making a big splash in the news. But remember, I just want to remind everybody, the FBI raided Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, raided his home. And we find out now that they were looking for private emails and records of trips that he and the others, his key aide, who was also raided, they made trips to China that were partially funded by the Chinese Communist Party. I'm sorry, but how stupid do you have to be?
Well, look, I for a couple of weeks now, there has been pretty good reporting that Eric Adams was going to be indicted on charges related to campaign finance violations, et cetera. I'm guessing that this ties into that. It's obviously not helpful to public perception that the fellow who took over Adams' position as Bronx borough president, Brooklyn borough president, says they can't find any records about those trips or who funded them or whatever. Mary, is anyone terribly surprised by any of this? I don't think New Yorkers are. And unfortunately, you know, we're a big blue Democrat-run city. And I think the general perception is that there's a lot of corruption and graft amongst city officials. And I share that suspicion, so it's a little bit of a dog bites man story in that, I think an awful lot of people, expect something to be dug up on Eric Adams, which is pretty difficult for him. But I also want to remind you and remind your listeners that all of this happened at a time when Eric Adams was going after Joe Biden's White House for opening up the border. New York City has taken in a, couple hundred thousand migrants. It is literally torching our city's budget, straining our hotels. Something like a third of our hotels now are given over to housing those migrants, meaning that this big tourist attracting city no longer has any place to put tourists. Instead, we're putting them at taxpayer expense, giving them out to migrants. So what is the worst scandal here? That Eric Adams may have taken money from the wrong people, or the Biden administration cracks down on its opponents, its political opponents, repeatedly, even if they're Democrats? I throw that up for general consideration. I don't know which is worse.
Yeah, when we first found out about the raids, what did everybody say? Oh, he was going against the Biden administration because he dared to speak out about immigration.
Yeah.
Right? And so everybody sees it, but yet the idiots in New York are going to keep voting Democrats so you get what you vote for. You know what? It's the way I look at it.
You do, except unless you're one of the group people like myself who doesn't vote for them. But here's the problem in New York. People are so discouraged. The numbers are so bad in terms of Democrats being so much in the majority that honestly, Republicans have kind of given up. And it's a shame because it isn't just Eric Adams, the mayor, who's a problem. It's obviously also Kathy Hochul. And don't forget, she almost got toppled by Lee Zeldin in the last round, last election. So it was not inconceivable that we could have tossed Kathy Hochul, which would have been fantastic, put in Lee Zeldin, a Republican governor, who could have fired Alvin Bragg, who has been the author of an awful lot of problems in this city because he's refusing to prosecute lots of different kinds of crimes which contribute to the degradation of the quality of life. He's awful. And the governor, in a heartbeat, could get rid of him. But she won't because she's scared of the progressive left. And even though we finally, thank the Lord, bounced one of the squad, Jamal Bowman, obviously a progressive Democrat. Unfortunately, other progressive Democrats did okay in the most recent round of voting, and they'll be on their way to Albany and causing more problems for New York. People say, Mary, and I think it might be true, New York has to be in a crisis mode before anybody really wakes up. You know, we'll see. I worry that is true.
Well, they're like alcoholics. They got to hit rock bottom, right? Let's get a little bit closer to the debates here. Let's get a little bit closer talking about the debates. It is reporting from Axios now that Michelle Obama is not campaigning for Joe Biden because she's friends with Hunter Biden's ex-wife, Kathleen Buell. And Michelle feels that the Biden family treated her horribly because she told the truth in court and she wrote a book about it. So apparently that's why she's not on the campaign trail for Joe Biden.
Well, who knows? So much speculation about Michelle stepping in as the possible candidate. If Joe Biden really tanks tonight and they desperately need someone else to run in his place, Michelle Obama is obviously the obvious person to do that because she has 100% name recognition. She could raise a ton of money and frankly, she might win. So I don't know what Michelle Obama cares of, what her motivation is. If indeed she is a friend of Kathleen, that doesn't surprise me. The Bidens are, I think they're really kind of horrible people, Mary. And look at the way they've treated their seventh, is it, grandchild, Navy Joan Roberts. I mean, she's a little orphan in terms of the Biden family, even though it is absolutely definitely the case that she's one of them, but they don't want to acknowledge her. So, I think little by little, and frankly, thanks to Axios that occasionally reports on this stuff, the Biden family has sort of emerged as a not very savory group, right? I mean, Joe Biden showering with his daughter, Hunter Biden and all his missteps. My God, these people are ghastly. And yet that's who we got. So, boy, do we need to get rid of them.
Yes, we do. They remind me very much of the Clintons, the Clinton clan. You know, I see a lot of it. Maybe that's what happens when you're in power for 50 years in the federal government. Tonight, the debate tonight, and you talked about maybe Michelle will be tapped to step in should Joe Biden, you know, crash and burn tonight. Which Joe Biden are we going to see tonight? Are we going to see, I call him Angry Grandpa Joe, when he's clearly hopped up on the Joe juice? Are we going to get angry podiums, you know, slamming, screaming Joe Biden? Or are we going to get affable, lazy Joe, sleepy Joe? Which one are we getting? Because there doesn't seem to be one in the middle. It's one or the other.
Yeah. Well, my guess is it'll change over the course of the night. I think in the beginning, he'll be very hopped up. You know, here's a question, and I wish I had spent time with doctors who were really up on this stuff. The New York Post wrote an article today about what they can take to clarify brain activity, to focus, you know, take Adderall and all this kind of stuff. Question is, can you get hopped up and also focused at the same time? Do you know what I mean? In other words, that hopped up Joe Biden we saw at the State of the Union, and I don't think there's any question that he was on something that got his motor running faster than normal, but he was reading a teleprompter. Would that Joe Biden, and by the way, he had a couple of asides that were, you know, that turned out well, and a little couple of ad libs. So how long does it last? I mean, to me, the most interesting tidbit, have we all been raking over the coals for tidbits, is that he has chosen not to go last, not to have the last word.
Yes.
And I have to assume that's because people think that at the end of 90 minutes, it won't be very good. And he doesn't want people to remember his closing statement as being kind of the takeaway Joe. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know that that's true. But you have a situation where he is training to be lively at 9 p.m. because he clearly isn't normally. And the combination of the late night and stimulants to kind of get him in going in the beginning, I don't know. It sounds to me like maybe we'll have both those Joe Bidens. Maybe by the end he'll be sort of, you know, wandering mentally and not quite as focused. In the beginning, I think he'll probably be pretty aggressive.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting to see the evolution of Joe. And he starts out with, you know, I'm keeping the ball if it comes in my yard, Joe. And then he slowly devolves into, you know, wandering Joe. Maybe he'll just wander off the stage. I think that would be hilarious should that happen. Right? Could you just see him just getting up, you know, and off he goes. Okay, so
yeah,
Donald
Trump. I think whatever happens tonight, I mean, I hope that Donald Trump maintains his cool, doesn't get lured into misbehaving. That's not good for us, for the country. I hope, my daughter was kind of like, Joe Biden is going to look incompetent and Donald Trump is going to look unpleasant. That really isn't a great signal for the world. I hope that isn't what happens, honestly.
No, absolutely. You're right. But so here's the thing. Are the expectations for Joe so low? And I keep hearing this over and over again. The expectations for Joe are so low that if he manages to stay awake and not wander off, literally wander off, that it's going to be a win for Joe Biden.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, look at the State of the Union. I didn't think that was great. And of course, people on the right were very critical of his performance. But when you have the entire liberal media getting together and CBS and ABC and The Hill and all these groups sort of say, wow, Joe Biden knocked it out of the park. An awful lot of Americans are going to buy that. So, yes, expectations are low. Yes, probably no matter what he does, he will get applause from the left, don't you think?
Of course. So the headlines are already... Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, I was going to say the headlines are written, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, the headlines are already written. Actually, I could write my piece. I'm writing about it tonight. I should write my thing now and say, you know, he was awful and Donald Trump was great, but I'm not going to do that because I have to watch it.
Right. Well, you're actually a journalist, and that's why, which is why we have you here. I'm telling you, I think that this is going to be anticlimactic. I think we're all expecting like this is going to be it. We're watching it. I don't think there'll be a second debate. Do you agree? No second debate.
Yeah, that's probably true. We'll see. But I think, look, I mean, Joe Biden is going to take another week off running the country to do another debate. That seems extreme, doesn't it? And they'll blame they'll blame Trump for that, for sure. They'll say, oh, he was rude or he lied about something or something like that. I mean, what we know is that in 2020, it was Biden who lied. Biden said he'd never taken any money, that all that, you know, the laptop was garbage, et cetera. Unfortunately, you know, an awful lot of Americans never really heard the rebuttal on that, which is that it was all untrue.
Right. Well, and they tried to pull this bit off with these economists who said that Donald Trump's plan would you know, sink the country, and there's our Nobel Prize winning economists. And now, thank goodness for some actual reporting being done by actual journalists in this country who looked into who these people are, only to find out that they're all Biden supporters, etc. And so should he bring that up tonight? You know, that talking point, because this is a replay of the last debate. Remember, to the Hunter Biden laptop that she brought up, right? They did this last time around. They can't do it this time around now because the truth is out.
And what we're finding out is that the CIA was very instrumental in getting those 51 signatories on the letter debunking the Hunter Biden laptop. I mean, it's an appalling story. It actually is a shocking story to me, and I don't think any of us particularly shocked by the intelligence agency's corruption at this point, but that was pretty bad. And I agree with you. This is sort of because, and you know, by the way, a couple of weeks ago, the Democrats started this theme about Trump doesn't have any ideas. He has no plan about how to combat inflation. And I should have written about it at the time, because there is absolutely a plan in place to combat inflation. It starts with energy. Energy is essential. Donald Trump will indeed pursue an all-of-the-above energy policy. It is not well known that next year oil production in the U.S. may well start to decline. That's going to drive prices higher, not lower. Under Trump, you know, you would get everybody out there drilling, and that would help. It is also the case that massive deregulation, as opposed to this wave of regulation that Biden's putting on industry, Trump's deregulatory emphasis is extremely good for bringing costs down. Right now, you have the Biden administration jawboning an awful lot of companies like McDonald's and Targets and stuff, hammering them over their prices. And so, yeah, they're bringing a few prices down. But the essential gumming up of the works is Joe Biden's kind of main theme in terms of how he treats big business. And it's really terrible for the economy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Very quickly, I have like a minute here. If you were one of the moderators and you could decide the questions, which question would you ask of both candidates? Is there like one question you want them to ask? Kind of putting you on the spot if there's one question. If not, that's fine too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, energy, I think, really is a big talking point for both of these guys. I think it'd be interesting to ask Joe Biden if the hundreds of billions of dollars that he's directing to EV production, does he really think that's in the long-term best interest of the auto industry and the auto workers who are, he wants to vote for him? In the case of Trump, I would like to have him talk about deregulation and the fact that he wants taxes lower. I mean, maybe taxes would be the one thing you could ask both these guys, because there's a clear difference in how they view tax policy. Biden wants to, you know, who in the world ever ran for president promising a $4 trillion tax hike? I think it's pretty astonishing.
Well, the rich are going to pay for it, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, and you know, you can obviously combat that very easily. So, and I think people get that, you know. I don't think Americans really believe that only the rich and only corporations are going to pay this hefty tax hike. So, you know, I think that would be a good place to put both those people. What you're going to have is a lot of, you know, have you stopped beating your wife types of questions, like Jake Tapper saying to Donald Trump, well, what were you thinking when you refused to call back the people storming the Capitol? That'll be the tenor of the questions coming from the moderators that have no good answers, in other words.
Yeah, no, it's going to be, and I'm pretty sure, I think most people agree that I just think that, you know, Biden's campaign already knows the answers, the questions, or Biden's campaign got to send the questions to Jake Tapper and Dana Bash. Liz Paik, you're amazing.
Yeah, that's true.
You can find her columns on Fox News and The Hill. Follow her on X at Liz Paik, P-E-E-K. And I will be watching with you. I'll toast you tonight while I'm watching the debates as well. Thank you so much.
All right.
Your calls.
Take care.
Oh, you absolutely have a great week. Your call's coming up, 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM on the Todd Starn Show. I'm Mary Walter sitting in for Todd Starnes here at the Liberty University Studios. Coming up, I'm going to go to you. It's all you and the debate. Will you be watching? Will you be listening? There's a difference. Highly recommend you do both because you get one point of view and you can see their face and you can see their body language. There's a lot to be read into that. But I think you listen to what they are saying more clearly when you are just listening to it, okay? When you're not looking at the television, when you're just taking in what they are saying, you can sometimes get a totally different take. Really interesting. That's coming up next on The Todd Starn Show.
We now take you behind the scenes at a secret undisclosed location used to prepare President Biden for the debate. Let's listen in as Barack personally helps get Joe ready.
Okay, that's enough time. Let's remove him from the cryogenic chamber. Now, attach the head. No, the other way. Joe, time to wake up. Wakey, wakey. Come on. We gotta get you your go juice so you can be ready for the debate tonight.
Seven.
Hand me the syringe.
It was just here. I thought you had it.
Look over there.
Man, this is the best stuff ever!
Hunter. Oh, crap. Chase him down and get his dealer's number. We need to get something, anything, quick.
You could just use his laptop.
Oh, yeah. Call the FBI. Tell them it's a national emergency. Wake up, Joe. Wake up, Joe.
I'm cold.
We only have a couple of hours, Joe.
Cold ice cream.
Join us next time our microphones take you behind the scenes.
Very cute. Todd sent us that. Thank you, Todd. We appreciate you. I'm Mary Walter sitting in for Todd Starnes, who's clearly listening right now. Hello, Todd. 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM. That is my number if you want to join me talking about the debate. There's a lot going on to discuss when it comes to the debate. First, I want to play. Well, I'll come back to this. I'll get your calls first. But I also, here's a couple of things I want to ask you. Do you think the debate tonight will be fair? And if not, why? What aspect of it will not be fair? What do you think will not be fair? That's the first thing. If you want to talk about what you want the moderators to ask Trump and Biden, I'd love to hear it. I'm telling you, I think this is going to be really anticlimactic because I think what's going to happen is this is just going to be a Q&A with Dana Bash and Jake Tapper. That's what it's going to be. The candidates are not going to get to interact with each other because the Democrats know that Joe can't handle that. Joe can't think on his feet at this point in the game, especially to Liz Peek's point. As the evening wears on and the Joe juice slowly works its way out of Joe's system, he's not going to be able to handle it as well. Debating's not easy. You have to know your facts. Like, people, I like to get into it with people sometimes. I don't look for it, but if they come at me, I'm like, okay, let's go. But I will tell you, honestly, when you ask me certain specifics or you come to me with something, I've got to get on my phone and go, no, that's not right. And I have to look it up to get the numbers. You got to have a lot of numbers and percentages and things like that rolling around in your head. So that's hard. So I have heard people say that Donald Trump is the best debater ever that they've seen, at least in their lifetime. And I do think Donald Trump is a good debater. But as long as Trump from 2020 debates is not on that stage, I think we'll do much well. If it's Trump from 2016, we're better off. But maybe not even 2016. I think if he is too forceful, he's going to be seen as bullying an old man, right? And that's no good. So he's going to have to play it very, very, very. I think he's going to walk a fine line because he's debating three people. But I think it's just going to be a Q&A with Dana Bash and Jake Tapper because he's not really going to get to interact with Joe. So it's going to be totally different. So I'm just curious as to it. And some people, I was really surprised to find out that there was, what was the percentage here of the number of people, who I have it somewhere here about the number of people. See, this is what, you can't just remember this stuff. Number of people who say they're going to watch it. It was only like 30 some odd percent of people who said they're actually going to watch it. I thought, wow. Because I think there's a lot of people who already know. But I'm a dork. And this is why I didn't go to the prom, because I will stay up to watch the debate. Even though I have so much to do, that's me. That's what I'm going to do. And you know what I do afterwards? I go over to CNN or MSNBC and I watch their analysis, because I know what Fox is going to say. I know what News Nation, and I know what Newsmax is going to say. So I go over to CNN and MSNBC. It's so opening because they see it so differently than I do. So I love that as well. All right. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Mark in the Villages. Mark, you're on the Todd Starnes Show. Hello. Mark, you there? I hear myself echoing back to me. He's not there. Mark! You had your shot, Mark. All right. Patty in North Carolina, Statesville, North Carolina, a Jersey girl who clearly has fled the People's Socialist Republic of New Jersey. Patty, welcome.
How are you, Mary? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Tonight's debate, you know, they're not going to bring up the border. This is CNN. This is Dana Bash and Fake Tapper. They are not going to bring up anything. They're going to bring, the border's going to, if they bring up the border, I will be shocked. That's not going to be, I want Trump to go after him about the laptop in 2020, and I want him to go with the border, and I want Joe Biden to mention Jocelyn, Rachel, and Lakin's name. You think he could do that? You think he could mention three names?
No, he can't.
That's a smart thing, right?
Right. But the fact that he has, and all Trump has to do is say, you did not even call the families of those young women who were murdered because of your policies. A listener on another station, I was filling in when we, and I was actually on the air when they announced that the debates were going to happen. So, of course, we went with it. And one of the callers had a really great idea. He said, Trump should walk out, shake hands with Joe Biden, and hand him a box of hand wipes and tell him that this is to clean the blood off your hands.
Yeah, you know what?
You're so right.
I mean, and you know what's really weird today? I mean, God forbid, today that poor girl is being buried. Isn't that so?
Yes.
So weird. So you want to know something? He has to just don't act. Don't bully him, Donald. Don't do that. You're the better man. But you know what? The people, Mary, if you're a MAGA person, I'm going to tell you something. Your mind is already set for Trump. If you are a blue Kool-Aid drinker, he could walk into 10 walls and people will still vote for him.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's very true. But, you know, we talk about, and I'm gonna let you go, Patty. So great to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining me. I do appreciate it. And go Trump, go MAGA. She brought up immigration. And here's another story. And I can just keep posting these on X over and over. We got to keep posting them because the left says, oh, well, we're protecting women when they talk about abortion, except for all those little baby girls that they're aborting. But other than that, they're the party that protects women. We because they want to keep the women in their camp. But you know what? You know who's being raped and killed by these illegals in our country? Young girls. A story just coming out today that a migrant from Turkey, an illegal from Turkey, was arrested in Albany last week for raping a 15-year-old girl that he forced into the backseat of his car after he threatened to beat her with a metal pole. Sakir Akan, 21 years old, accused of attacking her in the early hours of May 14th. He told the girl, who was in the passenger seat of his Toyota Prius, that he beat her if she didn't get in the back. When she was inside the car, he took her clothes off and raped her. She lives in a group home close to where the attack unfolded and was known to cops. So this kid's troubled to begin with. But a lot of these men coming from these places, and they're coming in by the truckload, unaccompanied men walking across our border. No children, no women with them. And in their country, raping a woman is no big deal. That's what happens. That's what they do. That's what they're used to. But here, our women and young girls especially are being murdered by these animals who come across the border and think that they could do whatever they want because they know that in Democrat states, sanctuary states like New York, nothing's going to happen to them. 901-260-5926. Cash Money. This should be interesting. In Collierville, Tennessee. Cash Money. Welcome to the Todd Starn Show. Hello.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. It's a big get to talk to you. A little background with government, the way it works. If it's bad, it's really bad. And in this instance, I can imagine that the president already has the questions. They're already teaching him what to say so that he has it down by rote memory, what little memory he has left, unfortunately. And the key to most of his responses will include any device, any term, any phrase that they've been able to glean from media where it triggers Trump, just makes him go off. So this entire event will be focused on triggering Trump to make him look as bad as possible.
But you know what's interesting about that strategy is that's the exact same strategy Donald Trump was coached to use by Chris Christie in 2020 during his debate prep. You got to bring out Angry Joe. That's what he was told to do. And so he went whole hog and he came across as a bully. It was a horrific debate. It was terrible. Remember, he just wouldn't let Joe Biden finish his sentence. And I was sitting there and I'm watching this and I'm like, what are you doing? Let him finish his sentence. You're not getting anywhere here by just running over him and not letting him speak. I think he should just let Trump speak. Let him go. I mean, Trump should let Biden speak. Let him go. Let him dig his own grave. Right? That I think that that's probably the best way to handle it. So to your point, I agree. I think Trump just has to just let Joe Biden go because Joe Biden's going to try to do to Trump what Trump tried to do to Biden in 2020. And I think it's going to have the same effect, the same outcome. But I could be wrong. Cash, thank you so much for joining me. A pleasure getting to speak with you. And have a great weekend. To that point, I want to go to cut three here. This is Steve Daines. He did an interview with Breitbart. And he talked about that strategy about letting Joe be Joe.
The more that Joe Biden talks in this debate, the better it's going to be for President Trump. They're probably going to have to give Joe Biden about five or six Red Bulls to keep him going. There's an old saying in politics, when your opponent is melting, don't become a shadow. So I think President Trump, if you use a golf illustration here, if you're coming down the 18th hole at Augusta and you're leading by a few strokes and Joe Biden's a few strokes behind you, just hit it down the middle of the fairway, put it in the green and sink the putt. That's what President Trump needs to do. Joe Biden, just give him the driver, let him hit. He'll hit it about 40 yards out of bounds.
That's right. Just let him go. And Donald Trump knows he's also debating Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, and they have a ton of conflicts, just a ton of conflicts. I'll get into those and I'll get to more of your calls. Jamal, hang on. I will get to you next. You can also reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. And all that coming up on the Todd Starn Show. I'm Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes. I'll tell you shortly coming up where you can find Todd this weekend. You can go say hello. Coming up right after the top of the hour, we'll be Henry Rogers from the Daily Caller about a piece he wrote about the Democrats and where they're sending the money, even though they say they're not sending their money there. It's really weird. So we'll talk about that coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Backyard Butchers. When you go to the store, did you know that the majority of your grocery store's meat aisle was imported from another country? And so, but you see that product of the USA sticker on it. So I always thought it was made in like it's from American farms, but it's not. That sticker just means that it was packaged in America. It's not necessarily raised here. So you're paying for meat that's coming from who knows where. So Backyard Butcher steps in, and they're delivering American-raised and harvested meat from right here in our American backyards. They bring it right to your dinner tables across our nation. They will not only source beef and chicken from American farms and deliver the cuts right to your doorstep every month. It's also grass-fed and grain-finished. This meat is amazing. Cut the frustration from the meat aisle and go to backyardbutchers.com. You're going to save an extra 20% off your entire order by using the code YOURCODE. And when you subscribe, get an additional 10% off and free shipping. Just go to backyardbutchers.com/YOURCODE. They have over 500,000 happy customers across America, hundreds of five-star reviews on Google, and they have an American-based customer service team. Yay! And they're all stay-at-home moms. This is fantastic. They're going to make sure your orders are delivered right on time every single month. So get the person in your house who buys the groceries to go to backyardbutchers.com/YOURCODE. Buy all U.S. American meat today. Know where your meat's coming from. It's going to be healthier. It's safer. They will save 20% off your first entire order. And if that person in your home who makes those decisions, get them to subscribe. They get an additional 10% off, additional and free shipping. Go check out backyardbutchers.com. All right, talking about the debates. Okay, we'll get to that right now. Let's go quickly first, though. Jamal's been hanging on here from WSIC in North Carolina. And we were talking about the attack on masculinity last hour. We were talking about that because of the Democrats having a problem with the men. Actually, it was this hour we're talking about it. Democrats have problem with the male vote. They're losing men. They're losing young men. They're losing Hispanic men. They've lost white men a while ago, last election cycle. And now they're losing black men as well. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And a lot of it's because of preachy white women who are annoying. Let's go to Jamal. Jamal, welcome. You're on the Todd Stern Show. Hi.
Hi, Ms. Walter. You're doing a great job. This is my first time hearing you, but I look to hear from you a whole lot. I just want to say that first. You and your commentator were very right. I tuned in a while ago, and one of the first comments I heard when I tuned in was your co-host saying, yeah, black men are getting fed up, and I am one, and we are. And the numbers are dictating that. Look, when you as a man can't say anything about any female, you can't say anything about society, otherwise you're mansplaining. I thought we had freedom of speech. I thought we had a free exchange of ideas. But all of a sudden, if you are a man, and also if you especially are a white man, then your opinion does not matter. And I like to go to Dr. Martin Luther King and injustice somewhere. So I'm sorry, but Dr. Martin Luther King didn't want to erase one race out of existence. And the left right now is trying to erase white males' opinions. I'm sorry, that's not right in my opinion.
Yeah, so here's the thing. The left, I believe the Democrats are inherently incredibly racist. They have very racist views. They don't want voter ID to cast a ballot because apparently black people don't have IDs, which I find to be really racist because I think that black people are Americans and that they function in American society like everybody else. And so what do you mean they don't have IDs? What are you talking about? How can this be? That doesn't make any sense, right? It's a very racist theory to posit. But I think that they just assume that they can be as racist as they want every 4 years and black people just keep voting Democrat because they've just always voted Democrat. But they don't give credit to black people, Hispanic people, minorities of being able to think for themselves. They just think that you're stupid. And that to me is incredibly racist because they base that in skin color. That's race. That's the definition of racism, is it not? I mean, they're racist.
Yeah, and you can definitely make that argument. And I'll say this, and I'll let you get back to your callers and to your show. When you have people that say men are bad and you want to accept all this transgender stuff, well, you can have your
Jamal,
life. You have my lifestyle too as a man.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to go. Thank you so much for the conversation. Henry Rogers coming up next on the Todd Stern Show.
the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd Starnes. Yes, you can see Todd. He's doing his Newsmax show today live from Iowa. Tomorrow, he'll be doing this show live from KXEL in Iowa. Then it's on to Iowa Fest this Saturday from noon to 3. You can get your tickets at KXEL.com/Iowa Fest. They're going to books, food, and fellowship. It's at the National Cattle Progress Pavilion in Waterloo, Iowa. And then on Saturday, he'll be at the Benton County Republican fundraising event. You can meet Todd, hear some great speeches, some Q&As, some good dinner, some fellowship. Starts at 7 p.m. You buy your tickets at the door at the Tilford Elementary School in Vinton, Iowa. Right now, though, let's welcome great reporter, great news guy, Henry Rogers. He's the Daily Caller chief national correspondent. Find him on X at Henry Rogers DC. He's on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Henry, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been too long, Mary.
I know. It's been so long. And I mean, you've moved to Florida and everything. Life has changed. You got out of the swamp. Good for you. Can't blame you at all. And I don't think you're the only one. It looks like the conservative media center now is really Florida. That's where everybody's going to. You've got a lot of good company down there.
Yeah, so
you you wrote a piece called, and it's on Daily Caller. It says, DNC sent millions to law firms behind unprecedented lawfare campaign against Trump. And what this is the DNC has paid close to $2 million since August of 21 to various law firms. And these firms, you found out, were between some of the lawfare cases. These law firms were behind some of these lawfare cases against Donald Trump. What did you find out?
Yeah, so like I always say, follow the money, and I think this was a good example of following the money. These FEC records, these filings that came out, showed that the DNC paid close to $2 million for a couple law firms that represented E. Jean Carroll in her sexual assault defamation suits against Donald Trump. This is interesting because the DNC had not paid this law firm for any of its services until August of 2021. The law firm, has been around since 2017, and of course, Jean Carroll, she first filed her initial lawsuit against Trump in 2019. So it sounds like there was some sort of coordinated effort there by the DNC to hire this firm. Again, there's been a lot of interesting, revelations that have come out by and a lot of these cases across the country here. For example, Matthew Colangelo, the DOJ connections, et cetera, but this recent report that I filed in the Daily Caller, I think, is just another example of the weaponized lawfare that's going on against Donald Trump right now.
Yeah, and it's all coming from the DNC, just like Hillary Clinton and the Steele dossier. But Hillary Clinton, in regards to the Steele dossier, wound up having to pay a fine by the FEC because they logged those as legal expenses when they were political expenses, correct? So would this be the same thing? Are these legal expenses or are these indeed political expenses because it was used to go after Donald Trump?
Well, that's the million-dollar question there. And I've had a lot of people say, this is not, maybe it's not technically illegal, but it kind of shows you everything you need to know about where these cases are coming from, how they're being organized, and the bigger picture of things. I mean, the DNC is, has a ton of money, and the fact that they're involved in paying this law firm that's connected to one of Donald Trump's, biggest haters who filed a defamation suit against him in New York, who, Trump had to show up to trial for. It's saying a lot, and it's concerning. And a lot of legal experts, including Mike Davis of the Article 3 Project, have said that this is explosive evidence that the Biden DNC is paying Democratic law firms to engage in this unprecedented lawfare in election interference against Trump. And I can't say that he's wrong on that one.
It doesn't sound unusual to me. And to be perfectly honest with you, I thought these were things that happened all the time. But we know that in Washington, you're not going to find a conservative law firm. They just don't exist. I mean, look at the J6ers who couldn't find representation. So this gives Democrats, I guess, the corner of the market on being able to try to exploit their enemies and just drain the money out of them through these lawfare cases. That's the game, which is brilliant. I got to give them credit. Democrats know how to fight Republicans. Don't. To my point then is, okay, so now that we know this and we know the game that is being played here, the game is afoot. What are Republicans doing about it? Anything? Are they going to investigate this? Are they going to demand that there be some kind of, you know, charges brought against, or can they get a DA maybe in a Republican leaning state to bring charges against these law firms or the DNC?
That's a great question as well, Mary. I think, you know, I've been seeing a lot of lawmakers in both the House and Senate, and House Republicans, House GOP lawmakers on X and Twitter, you know, blasting the story around. And, you know, we hope to see some action on this. I would imagine something comes from it, but you never know. I mean, the House Republicans and Republicans in general have been doing a poor job of holding a lot of people accountable in the last couple of years here. So, you never know. Fingers crossed. But one last thing I will say about this piece is, you know, I think it was in April that the DNC spokesperson, I think his name was Alex Floyd, he stated that the DNC does not spend a single penny of grassroots donors' money on legal bills. And I would love to get Alex Floyd's opinion on this piece I published. The money that's being spent by the DNC on all these legal fees, basically on Biden's behalf. It's almost like he's completely contradicted everything he said. And of course, the DNC would not respond to any of my inquiries for comment. Shockingly,
well, they're big fat dirty liars, and we all know it. Politics is a disgusting sport. And I just think that, as I've said, I say over and over again, the Democrats are really good at it. They are proactive and Republicans are reactive. And that's the problem. I hate Nancy Pelosi's policies, but I admire her ability to lead. And I admire her ability to play the game. She walks the line and Republicans sit there and go, well, we're better than the game. I'm like, yeah, and you keep losing. So you may not like the game, but sometimes you got to play it. And I'm not trying to sandbag you here, but I'm going to bring this up. If you don't know anything about it, that's fine. Okay. So I'm just wanted to bring this up because I think it really goes into what we're speaking of. Yesterday, Anna Paulina Luna had a press conference with 9 other House Republicans, including Freedom Caucus members and more moderate members. So they're showing us it's a show of force that it's not just the Freedom Caucus. We have moderate members here as well. And they announced that they're going to, if Garland doesn't give over the HER tapes to them, that they are going to, because he's ignoring a subpoena, that they're going to bring in a vote on inherent contempt, which means the sergeant at arms can go get him, throw him in irons, and force him to come to Congress, which I think is awesome and I want to watch. Do you want anything?
No, I love it too. And, you know, Anna Paulina Luna is my congresswoman, actually, where I live in Florida. But I love to see people who you would not expect on stage yesterday. I didn't really expect a guy like him to take this issue up and to be behind it. But they're absolutely right. I mean, if they're going to start jailing people on contempt of Congress charges, Republicans specifically, then why is Garland, you know, any different? Why is he not going to be held to the same standard? Why can he avoid, dodging all these questions from Congress like anyone else? He should be held to the same standard as anybody else, if not to a higher standard. He knows everything, and he should be able to come in and answer the questions. If not, he should be held in contempt and he should be jailed. I mean, I think the better question is how would this look? There's been a lot of legal experts saying, okay, so if this goes through, the House does do this, you know, what, are they just going to arrest him, go arrest Merrick Garland on site?
Yes.
Would he appear
yes.
later on? How would that work, you know? And I think that's an interesting question.
Well, he also has Secret Service protection. So that's
right.
going to be interesting.
Right.
You know, that I want to
exactly.
see how this,
what
I want to see
there?
How this works out. Yeah. So what people need to understand is one of the congressmen, Mark Alford, who was there, said, if we allow the Department of Justice and the Attorney General to dictate whether or not a congressional subpoena is enforced, we risk becoming subordinate to the executive branch, which is a question I've been asking. Like, how come we have this unelected fourth branch of the government, the DOJ, FBI, CIA, all the alphabets? They have more power than Congress when Congress is strictly given oversight of them. And they are they're unelected bureaucrats who are very, very comfortable in their power, which should be very scary to us. So I want to see how this plays out. I am so looking forward to it. I can't wait. Although I get the feeling I'm going to be sadly disappointed. I don't know why, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be sadly disappointed because Republicans always disappoint me. But you know who doesn't disappoint me? Henry Rogers.
I couldn't agree more. And Like I was saying, I mean, the Republicans have done some things for Steve Bannon and very little for Navarro, but it's kind of too little too late. It sounds like, you know, Bannon's going to have to show up to jail. But it sounds like, you know, this whole time they knew there were some things that could have been done to maybe prolong that or push that back or maybe make it prevent it from happening altogether. So we'll see what happens with all of that as well.
That's because Republicans are reactive and Democrats are proactive. Henry Rogers, Daily Caller's chief national correspondent. Find him on X at Henry Rogers DC. The piece is how the DNC sent millions to law firms behind the unprecedented lawfare campaign against Trump. Enjoy the sun. Enjoy the taxes of Florida. I'm so jealous. And thank you so much for joining us, Henry.
Thank you, Mary. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Have a great weekend. Your calls, 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM is my number. You can also get me at Mary Walter Radio and on X. And don't forget, I have a podcast. I didn't tell you about my podcast. Tuesday nights, Todd has been on it. Grace has been on it. I've got to get Ben on. I've had Todd. I've had Grace. Got to get the rest of the crew on. But great guests. And it's a lot of fun. We don't always talk politics. Todd's last foray onto my podcast, we didn't talk politics at all. We talked about Todd and it was really a lot of fun. So it is live on Tuesdays at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time on Gitter and YouTube. Just look for Mary Walter Radio. And then the audio is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Again, look for Mary Walter Radio. And those videos are up on YouTube. You just have to pick on the third tab. When you first go to Mary Walter, if you first go to YouTube/Mary Walter Radio, it brings you to the homepage. And for some reason, there's just like four videos there. I don't know why. Click over, go over to the third tab. Click the third tab and they're all there and you can watch them all. So, all right, let's hear from you next on the Todd Starnes Show. And I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd Starnes. How are you? If you want to jump in here, love to have you. 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM is my number. You can leave comments for me on X at Mary Walter Radio, and I will do my best to multitask to get those in. So CNN's debate moderators, are Dana Bash and Jake Tapper, and both of them are very connected to the deep state. Former deep state officials, the ones that pushed the Steele dossier and the whole Hunter Biden's laptop wasn't real. It was Russia, Russia, Russia. And Tapper published a story on a leak from James Clapper, who was Biden's director of national intelligence. And he won an award for that report. He never corrected the record either. And they never disclosed it. Clapper just did, but they never disclosed that the false reporting relied heavily on the now discredited Steele dossier. Bash was married to Jeremy Bash, who was a former CIA chief of staff in the Obama administration. Bash and Clapper were signatories to the 2020 letter from those former intelligence officials. Remember that? We've talked about that. And about the whole laptop. and that said all classic earmarks of a Russian disinformation operation. As I said, Tapper won a Miriam Smith Award for broadcast journalism for his reporting on the Clapper leaks. He never disclosed his source, who was Clapper, nor did he correct the record when Clapper lied to the American public, stating that the leaks had not come from the intel community. And on X, Emily Jashinsky wrote, Clapper lied in a deposition about leaking very dubious intel to CNN. Clapper then admitted he did it. Tapper won a journalism award for running a credulous story on the leak, and Clapper also misled the public about the leak. So it just goes round and round. Do you think that this is rigged? I'm just curious. What do you think? Do you think that this debate is going to be rigged? 901-260-5926 is my number. Hey, you might have heard of Mike Lindell and MyPillow. They're no longer having the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of this cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly on to you. And you're going to get a $25 discount, a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just one product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. So to get the word out, we want to invite Todd's listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows, they're so good, with the all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping as well. It's incredible. Everything's $25. And I'm telling you right now, those MyPillows, the premium ones, to die for. They are incredible. We have them at every room in our house. We have them at my in-laws' vacation home. We lug them up there. Love them. And we keep them up there. And people are like, why do you have your own pillows? I'm like, because they're amazing. Now, this amazing offer will not last long. So you have to go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506 today. Remember, it's not just pillows. Incredible sheets and really absorbent towels and really soft towels. Fantastic. So go to 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNES. There you go. Coming up, we're going to be joined by Congresswoman Kat Kamick out of Florida. We will talk about the presidential debate with her and also the border crisis. You know, I'm on X and I keep looking, and every time I go through my feed, there's a story about another illegal who is in the country who has kidnapped, raped, assaulted, killed an American woman. And I don't understand why Republicans are not seizing on this and saying, hey, you know what? We're the party to protect American women. Because it's not abortion that's a threat to American women. What's a threat to American women is being raped and or killed at the hands of someone that Joe Biden let into this country illegally. So we're going to talk about that coming up with Congresswoman Kat Kamick. I'm Mary Walter, and you're listening to The Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Todd's back with you tomorrow doing his show live from Iowa. You can join me at 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM, or you can reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. So I want to go to, we're talking about the debate. We're going to talk about the date with Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Oh, and she's here. We've got her. Yay. Congresswoman Kat Kamick, thank you for joining me here on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starnes Show. How are you?
We're doing well. Thanks for having me, Mary.
Absolutely. Love speaking with you. So the presidential debate tonight, every time, I was saying before we went to break that every time I go on X, every time I scroll down my timeline, there is another story about a young woman who has been killed, beaten, raped, etc., from allegedly by someone who is in the country illegally. And as I was going through, I had one this morning that I talked about. Now there's another one. A 21-year-old man from Ecuador is being accused of suffocating a woman on her 21st birthday and hiding her body in a park. They found her in a 15-foot, a shallow grave. This is happening all over the place, and the man being accused came from, his name is Sean Moises Chakagwase Ilbis, and apparently in the country illegally. Why don't the Republicans seize on this and say, you know, the Democrats tell you that they're protecting women, they're protecting women's rights. What about a woman's right to live? What about a woman's right not to be raped or not to be beaten or kidnapped? The Republicans are the ones who are protecting that. To me, this just seems such an unused angle for the Republicans to tell women, hey, we'll keep you safe.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the big frustrations is, you know, we talk often about how Republicans passed out of the House last year early on H.R. 2, which was the toughest border security package in certainly my lifetime. And yet it sits on Senator Schumer's desk collecting dust, and they refuse to take action. And I have asked the question repeatedly, how many more families need to become angel families, meaning that they have lost someone to an illegal alien here in the country that should have never been here in the first place? How many more tragedies have to occur before the Biden administration will take action? And, of course, they're dodging this question, and the Democrats don't want to answer for it. And for them to say that they're the party of women and families, it's nonsense. We have people dying in this country at the hands of illegals who should have never been here in the first place. And I don't even say allegedly, because in many of these cases, they have admitted, these criminals have admitted that they videotaped it. And it's just disgusting, absolutely disgusting. And when I spoke with the sheriff of Harford County, which Rachel Morin was a resident there, and she's the mom of five who was brutally raped and murdered, you know, they're 1,800 miles away from the southwest border. Every single town and city in America is a border town because of Joe Biden's open border policies. And there is no way to defend his horrific record of turning every town and city into a border community. And he has no way to defend the crime and the assault on our communities as a result of the open border. And if it's not violent crime, in the form of sexual assault and rape and abuse, or you know, homicide, as we have seen, it's in the form of drug trafficking, which we know 100,000 people every single year are killed and poisoned with fentanyl that comes through the border. So it's just, it's heartbreaking, it's disgusting, and we need to be speaking out about it every single day. But the only way that this is actually going to get fixed is through an election, when we elect Donald Trump, a Republican Senate, and we expand our majority in the House.
Yeah, it's very sad about what's happening here. Now, let me ask you, the majority of people who say that they are going to take in the debate say that, you know what, it's rigged. They don't believe that this is going to be fair. They the audience seems to be on to the fact of that this is going to be a rigged debate, in the sense that Donald Trump will be debating three people, not just one. He's going to be debating three people, right?
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I think that this is going to be boring tonight. You can disagree with me. I'd like to get your take on it, because I think this is just going to be a Q&A between the candidates and the moderators. And Donald Trump's going to be asked, you know, like, so, sir, how would your, you know, how are you going to save the economy? You have 60 seconds. Where Donald Trump's, whereas Joe Biden's going to be asked, so what's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Listen, the American people are smart. You know, we're not going to fall for a sugar-coated question, and if there is one, which there very well could be, you know, a softball to Joe Biden and a fastball or a curveball to Donald Trump, you know, we see through that, and it's no surprise. No one has exceptionally high expectations for CNN going into this. And remember, this is Jake Tapper, who has, you know, repeatedly referred to Donald Trump as Adolf Hitler. So there certainly is no love lost there. I don't expect a highly professional debate. Like I said, the expectations are low. And yeah, I can understand when people feel like this whole thing is rigged. It's because every single one of the demands that were made for this debate came from the Biden campaign. You know, they wanted no audience because how could they ever face everyday American people? They always operate in a highly controlled environment. This would open Joe Biden up to be heckled. He doesn't do so well under pressure, right? He has to be seated instead of standing. Highly unusual. You know, maybe he'll be checking his watch under the table. Who knows? And of course, I think the most infamous of all the demands is the fact that there's a mute button. And CNN having control of the mute button is highly indicative of what we can expect going into this. The minute that they start talking about facts, and they being, you know, the Trump campaign, they're going to silence them, just like they silenced the Trump campaign spokeswoman, Caroline Leavitt. They literally cut her feed because she was stating facts. The expectations are exceptionally low. I think that Donald Trump just showing up is a win because he's not scared to go into the lion's den. But let's be honest, Joe Biden has CNN and a mute button on his side. It's kind of hard to overcome that if they won't even turn on your mic.
Yeah, and so we know. But here's the thing. You said that they're going to be sitting, but I had read that that was initially what was going to happen, but now they're standing, and they're literally prepping Joe Biden this week to stand, be able to stand for 90 minutes. So it's going to be interesting to see if they're sitting or standing, because if they're sitting, I just have this mental image of Joe Biden getting super comfortable and just starting to slump down in his chair, and he just like slides underneath it like he's melting, and under the table he goes, which I think would be hilarious. so I don't know if they're sitting or standing. That's going to be fun to see. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just thinking about this. I mean, the fact that they have to practice standing tells you everything you need to know. I mean, come on. This is the commander in chief of the United States. This is why I say often that, you know, this is a guy who spent 43% of his presidency on vacation. We don't have a full-time president. We have a full-time patient. If you have to practice standing, that is a full-time patient.
That's a good point. So, but here's the thing. Why does he have to spend all this time prepping? What is he? He's been in Congress for 40 years. What is he prepping on? How does he not know this stuff already?
Well, that's going to be interesting, because supposedly they don't have any pre-written notes, which anyone who has had a meeting with Joe Biden here in the last 3 years knows that he is desperately attached to his cards, his index cards, whether he's in a press conference or he's in a meeting with, you know, the Democrat caucus, of which I have heard from colleagues on the other side of the aisle that he cannot have a meeting without those pre-written cards. So my sense is that CNN did what they did in 2016 when Donna Brazile famously fed the questions to Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
My guess is that they probably pre-fed the questions to the Biden campaign. I'm, of course, speculating, but, you know, there's good reason to speculate that this is the case. And they've been doing memorization the whole time of trying to prove that he is all with it. I think that they actually got an advanced copy of the questions, and they've been prepping him for these. And I think it'll be pretty evident, because we know he's not quick on his feet. Everyone said that the State of the Union this year was a great success for Joe Biden. No, it wasn't. Right. He couldn't even get Lake and Riley's name right. And right. He went off the cuff and was desperately clinging to the podium. I mean, it's just, it's terribly sad. And more than that, it's dangerous for our nation for people to see him in this state. And so tonight, I think Joe Biden, if he delivers a coherent thought, people will trumpet that as a win. But the fact remains is that Donald Trump is going into this as the underdog, as someone who knows that the moderators are not friendly to him. And all he has to say is, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And anyone, Republican, Democrat, Independent, they will have to say, you know what? Things aren't better. And that's why we're going to win in November.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you, do we get, because they're going to pump them full of the Joe juice. We know that, right? So are we going to get Sleepy Joe if they don't? Because if they don't pump him up, you know that they're going to take him out after this. That's my feeling, is that they're going to take him out if he's not pumped up with the Joe juice. So do we get Angry Grandpa Joe, who's going to keep the ball if it comes in his yard, and who's going to be pounding the podium and screaming and yelling like he did during State of the Union and that address in Philadelphia with the red lighting and all that stuff? Or do we get affable Joe, who like, oh, shucks, old Joe, you know, and he kind of, his memory is not that great. That, which Joe do we get?
The fact that we even have to have this conversation is so terribly sad. It is so, so terribly sad because everyone across America has seen these. And I know that the White House calls them cheap fakes. I'm sorry that real video of you know, Joe Biden is disturbing to the point where you now have to concoct a name to describe what's happening. But I'm not honestly at the point of calling out Jill Biden for elder abuse, because we're seeing truly a man slip into dementia. And anyone who has had a family member or a loved one that has gone through this, they see the signs. And it's not meant to be rude or mean. It is truly concerning for the well-being of that person, right? And no one wants to see the President of the United States in a situation like this. No one wants to see the President of the United States slipping in and out of, you know, lucid thoughts and then into confusion. That's a horrible thing. I don't care what party you represent. It's terribly sad, but it's also, like I said, very dangerous. The world is effectively on fire, and, you know, Joe Biden's talking about ice cream. What the hell? This is insane. I really think that if Jill and the family really, really loved him, they would say, you know what? This isn't right. This isn't right to be doing this. And, you know, it's time to pass the torch. I do think that there is a possibility of that getting teed up. And, you know, some people say that sounds like a conspiracy theory. Well, then why are you having the Democrat convention three quarters virtual? Is it because you need to be so in control of the delegates that you have to flip your person in or out, depending, without any pushback? You have to ask these questions because it's very unusual what's happening with the DNC and what's happening with their convention, and just a lot of questions and speculation right now.
Yeah, I have like 1 minute here. I just want to hit you up with this. Tomorrow there's going to be a vote taken in the House to hold Merrick Garland in inherent contempt, which would give the them the ability to send the sergeant at arms to go get him and shackle him. And I want to see that. I hope they live stream it. Do you think that they're going to pass it? Do they have the votes?
So I know I spoke with Representative Luna today about this, and I've been very supportive of this inherent contempt resolution. She said she is going to introduce it tomorrow. It then falls on leadership to call it up. I believe they have 2 legislative days in order to call it up. Okay. And then immediately the Dems will move to table, and we'll see what happens, because I do believe that there are a lot of questions about it that have yet to be answered. She's doing a great job trying to educate people on the process of how this would work. And so let's go, fingers crossed, that we have enough votes to overcome a motion to table and actually get to vote on the inherent contempt, because at the end of the day, we all share the exact same objective, which is accountability. Every single one of us in this country are so sick and tired of these bureaucrats walking all over the Constitution, walking all over the American people, living by a 2-tier justice system, and they need to be held accountable. So at the end of the day, we believe accountability is due. They have ignored the contempt that was passed out of the House. It's time to take action. So I'm excited to vote for it. I hope we get to vote for it, and hopefully the process doesn't go awry.
And I would like it noted, as my husband always says, the Republicans need more women because they're the only ones who get anything done. So, yay.
Kat Kamik,
Congresswoman Kat Kamik, thank you so much for joining me. Have a fantastic weekend.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Your call's coming up, 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM on the Todd Starn Show. Walter in for Todd Starnes and the Todd Starnes Show. Let me tell you about First Cup Coffee Company. They're a conservative company that wants to to focus on what made this country great. Each roast is named after a piece of American history. There are 11 roast profiles available, and some of them, like, I knew what a lot of them were, and there were some that I didn't know, and I actually looked them up to find out which part of history they were referring to. What's the story they were referring to? So I absolutely love that. They're a Christian-owned Patriot Coffee Company. They stand for core values, family, and building community across the nation. They support mission works around the globe, translating the Bible into other languages, building churches, Bible colleges, and funding missionaries. But that's all well and good. But you know what's the best part? Is their coffee tastes really great. They're freshly roasted beans. They're delivered in ground or whole bean texture in pods and in bulk. They're sold in 1 pound bags, 16 ounces. Most coffee is sold in 8 ounces or 12 ounce bags. Check out that full pound. They are shipped within days of being roasted, so that flavor is so fresh. And you can subscribe and save. All subscriptions get free shipping. There are no contracts. You can cancel at any time. You can change your subscription at any time. You get to choose your flavor, the quantity, and the shipping frequency. If you only need one bag a month, you know what you do? You save an additional 15% on 2 bags delivered every 60 days, plus free shipping. Their pods are hand-filled within days of being roasted. And you can go on the website and build a box with multiple roast flavors. So a little bit something for you, something for maybe, you know, your husband who wants something different, the kids want something different. So you can do that. And you can also do that and then give them away. Really great gifts. You buy in bulk and save for you. Buy for your business, your home, your church. As I said, a nice gift if you're going to someone's home for dinner. You bring them some really great coffee. It smells so fantastic and it tastes good. And you're supporting a great organization. So go to firstcup.com and use T-O-D-D, the code Todd, and save an additional 10% on your order if you subscribe. And you save an additional 10% for the life of your subscription. So go to firstcup.com and use the code Todd, T-O-D-D, and get to saving and get some great coffee. All right, we are close to being out of here, kids. But before we go, I just have to tell you, since a lot of people will be hitting the beach in anticipation of the 4th of July holiday, know that there's a new event coming to a beach near you this summer called Fat Beach Day to give plus-size people a space to be themselves. The first one was held in New York at Jacob Riis Beach. The brains behind this is Jordan Underwood, who is an event organizer, a plus-size model, an artist, and an activist. So they are protesting thinness being beauty standards. I love this because I find somebody who's bigger than me standing on the beach, then I go stand next to them. So I'm down with this. I'm Mary Welter. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic weekend.